Good afternoon, everyone. A brand new show right here on KDRT. By brand new, I mean we just finished one and here we're starting another one. And I said good afternoon, but I understand many of you might be listening. Not in the afternoon. Maybe it'll be one in the morning or two in the afternoon. I don't know, but welcome. I'm Peter Pastor. I'm your host for Listening Lyrics, an hour of music and talk, generally speaking, with a musician. And today, there is no musician. I'm going to talk about what musicians use and lose. Right here on KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. What do musicians lose and use? Well, it's their guitars. And as you probably read in the paper, it got widely mentioned on all sorts of social media and news outlets that Paul McCartney found his guitar that was stolen over 50 years ago. Well, there's a lot of famous guitars that have been lost and found. And I'm going to play a few of those. And then I started thinking about it's not uncommon to hear that a band will play somewhere, and while they're playing or while they're eating or sleeping, some of their equipment gets stolen. And probably the most important thing for a musician is not the amps, it's not the plugs, it's the instrument they use to create their art. And for a lot of musicians, that's the guitar. In the background, you're hearing Angels from Tobias Bernstein. And we're going to start off with talking about the Grail. Now, the Grail was the name of the guitar that Zakk Wylde used. In 1981, Zakk lost his beloved original 1981 Bullseye Les Paul Custom, better known as the Grail. It occurred during a stint when Zakk's regular tech, Fred, took some time off after the birth of his daughter. The guitar was put into the band's trailer after a gig and someone forgot to lock it. During the drive from one of the next shows, the door came open and several pieces of the gear fell out and was thrown all over the Texas highway. One of those pieces was Zakk's The Grail, his guitar. Happily, the Grail was later recovered thanks in no small part to a secret graffiti that Koala had done on the guitar to make it more easily identifiable. And that seems to be a common thing, to put something, a little secret scratch or something that makes it identifiable. The Grail was Zakk's most famous guitar, and he used it on every album he recorded. Now, if you don't know who Zakk Wylde is, he was the guitarist for most of Ozzy Osbourne's work. Now, it was sitting in, the guitar was sitting in a ditch somewhere in Texas, and yeah, there wasn't a lock on the trailer, so the guy just forgot to lock it, and when he started driving, it came open, and there you have it. But the stagehand said, "I remember seeing that guitar up close as a stagehand in Pittsburgh long before it became Zakk's tech. I had become Zakk's tech. Finally setting up the Grail and changing the pickups was one of my first jobs after I got the gig. I didn't know how long it would have the gig, so I made my mark on history. I wrote in a Sharpie inside the pickup cavity, ZW, and the other, thank you, Zakk, for the gig, FK. The guitar survived the fall out of the trailer thanks to the Gibson chainsaw guitar case." Wow. So some guy picked it up off the road, assuming it was just a regular Zakk Wylde signature Les Paul that bore some scars from years of abuse. Made the rounds until it wound up in a pawn shop. and was purchased by a guy named Jerry for $250. Again, assuming it was just a regular retail Zakk Wylde Les Paul, but when Jerry removed the pickup to give the guitar a clean, he saw the writing. The Grail was returned home, Fred recalls. It actually flew in its own seat on the airplane. They bought a ticket home and put it in the cabin so there was no charge it would be, no chance it would be lost. It made it home to Zakk and now resides in the studio, safe and sound from the trials of the road. I bet you that guitar has some good, good stories to tell. Okay, let's listen to a little bit of Zakk. We're going to go with Sleeping Dogs by Zakk Wylde. Take a listen. Here we go.
Last word, and that's the last.
Sleeping with Dogs, Zach Wild. Hey, he did a pretty good number on that lost guitar, didn't he? The guitar again name was The Grail. All right, moving on. Someone that we've probably all heard of. He has a guitar called the Phoenix, and I'll explain why he called it the Phoenix in a little bit. This is Peter Frampton. When he was in Humble Pie, the band was playing a series of shows at the Fillmore West in San Francisco. Frampton had recently swapped out his SG for an ES-335 and was experiencing some feedback. As was a typical issue with hollow bodies back then, a fellow musician and fan of Frampton's named Mark Mariana suggested he try out his modified 1954 Les Paul Custom. Frampton used it for the entire set and was so impressed with the guitar that he offered to buy it on the spot. Mariana refused to accept the money for the guitar and gave it to Frampton as a gift. For the next decade, that guitar was featured on Humble Pie's Rock On and Frampton's iconic solo album, Frampton Comes Alive. It was unquestionably Frampton's favorite guitar. Then in 1980, while on tour in South America, disaster struck. A cargo plane carrying Frampton's gear, including the custom guitar, crashed near Caracas, killing all personnel on board. The guitar disappeared for years until it was brought to a local luthier named Donald for setup. The details of how the guitar came to be rescued from the wreckage is a mystery. Valentina tried to buy the guitar for years from the person who owned it. He was unable to do it, but eventually the fellow sold it to him for $5,000 in 2011. Once he had the guitar, Valentino flew it to Nashville, Tennessee himself and returned it to Peter Frampton. The guitar was sent to the Gibson Custom Shop for repairs and remains with Frampton to this day. Frampton dubbed the guitar Phoenix because it rose from the ashes. Here we go. Phoenix is going to play through the fingers of Peter Frampton, Penny for Your Thoughts. Penny for Your Thoughts, Peter Frampton. Kind of a, I don't know, I would say a catchy tune. Well played. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. The name of the show is Listening Lyrics. I'm your host, Peter Pasteur, and we're playing songs from Lost Guitars But Found later on. Most of them were either stolen. The one we just played, Peter Frampton, was in a plane wreck and survived. Can you imagine? It's those guitar cases, I guess, that really do it. Hey, did you know KDRT has lots of different types of shows all over the place. And yes, I'm playing music that's probably mostly Western European, American, Canadian type of music. But did you know we have a show called Crossing Continents right here on KDRT? In this world music show, Gil covers the Middle East, the Mediterranean, North Africa, Central Asia, and the Indian subcontinent, including traditional and contemporary musical styles. This is not a pop music show, folks. It's live Mondays from 10 to 12. Crossing Continents. Go to kdrt.org, look up the schedule, and hit Crossing Continents, and you'll be able to listen to, to some of his shows. I'm playing some songs that are from guitars that have been lost. And the next one's interesting. The next one is about Jimmy Page. You know him, Led Zeppelin guy. His guitar, Black Beauty. The guitar was, Nate sold the guitar to an employee for $5,500 who owned it and gigged with the guitar for the next several years. However, when the employee brought the guitar into the shop for repairs in 2014, Nate put the guitar under a black light. The lacquer had settled over time, revealing the holes for Page's two extra doggle switches that had been removed and covered up. In addition, the 12th fret block inlay was unique. It had what is characterized as lightning with three stars to the left. This detail, as seen in old photographs of the guitar, was used to confirm that this was indeed Page's long-lost guitar. The employee who owned the guitar was in need of money to pay some medical bills. It would have been an easy option for him to have the guitar authenticated with the newly unearthed proof and sold it for a massive sum. But he and Nate decided that the right thing to do was to return the guitar to Page. Page exchanged the guitar for a '59 Les Paul Custom, which was valued at $45,000. A decent return for the $5,000 investment. I would say Black Beauty had, if Black Beauty had hit the auction block, it would have fetched a sum well over that. You know, that's the second time that it's come up that these people that are in love with music and find someone's guitar or loan someone guitar and they like it, they don't want money for it. They just give it to the guy or at least exchange it. Let's listen to Led Zeppelin, Rock and Roll. rock and roll, Led Zeppelin, using Black Beauty. You know, I had a musician on a while, long time ago, and he lost something too. He lost a chord in his head that he had in his head, or a lick. And he said it was the most beautiful thing. He thought he'd become super famous with it. He just loved it. Kept playing it over and over in his head. But he only had it in his head for like 5 minutes. And then he was going to go and hum it in his iPhone, I guess. And lo and behold, the phone rang. He answered the phone. He talked, hung up. He had forgotten the lick. And I guess that's something that he never did find the lick. It might still be in his head, and who knows, 50 years from now, it might come back to him. But there's nowhere he can go to look for it, except for what's in his head. Well, the only thing in my head is the other person that lives in there that sort of comes out once in a while. But anyways, you're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. We're going to talk a little bit about Aerosmith, Joe Perry. He had a guitar that was also lost. But before we do that, I'm going to read you a public service announcement, because these are important, folks. These are organizations that help the community, and we need to get the word out that this is available. California Public Health Advocates. The California Public Health Advocates in Davis works to help communities change laws and establish norms that support racial and economic justice, as well as health equality for all. To learn more or offer your support, go to phadvocates.org, all one word, and you'll find out all about it. I have never lost anything that I found 50 years later, to be honest. I've lost things that have never been returned, but I don't think something... I've never lost anything that was just critical to me. Although for a long time, when I was a kid, and back in the 50s and 60s, your parents would get a new car every other year, 2 years. And we went from a 53 or 54 Chevy to a 57 Plymouth. And that thing was a hunk of junk. But I decided as a kid then, so I was, I don't know, 53, so I was 8 or 10, that I would take a little thing from each car and put them in a special box. And from the Chevy, I took the door knob that you push down in those older cars. You push down, it's right next to the windshield, and lock it. All you had to do was unscrew it. So that became that. In the Plymouth, which was a hunk of junk, I think my dad got rid of it within 2 years, I had the same thing, but this time it was a little chrome lever that all you had to do was unscrew it a little bit and take it. And so on and so forth. A piece of a Ford, a piece of a Chevy, a piece of an Oldsmobile, a piece of a Chevy Nova, who knows what. But anyways, I lost the box, who knows what happened to it. I would like to see that back, but it's not critical. Anyways, you're listening to Listening Lyrics, and we're going to go on now with a Joe Perry, 59 Les Paul. Throughout Aerosmith's heyday, Joe Perry's instrument of choice was his 59 Les Paul. However, racked by addiction, Perry sold the guitar to fund his drug habit, and the guitar drifted around various music stores and pawn shops until it was purchased by Slash for $8,000. The Cat in the Hat had recognized the guitar as the one Perry had owned and used the iconic axe on many recordings and videos, including the video for November Rain. Then, in 2002, Slash decided it was time to reunite Perry with his long-lost guitar and gave it back to him as a gift. "His heart is so big, I don't know how it fits in his chest," Perry told Conan O'Brien as a guest, as a kind gesture. After Perry got the guitar back from Slash, he was clearly determined never to part from it again. The guitar, now listen to this, the guitar was given its own security guard who would sit with the road case from the moment it left the truck until the moment Perry's tech came to collect it for the night show or session. Unsurprisingly, with such high security, the guitar remains with Perry to this day. "Shaking My Cage" by Joe Perry. Let's take a listen to that. I kind of like this song.
Shaking my cage.
Oh, boy, I could listen to a night of that. That was pretty awesome. Shaking My Cage, Joe Perry. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. The name of the show is Listening Lyrics. I'm your host, Peter Pastore. I'm playing some songs that use guitars that have been lost or stolen, or, as one case, in a plane crash. Or a car crash, a truck crash. But anyways, they're kind of interesting stories. Did you know my show is also on a podcast, Listening Lyrics? All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app, type in Listening Lyrics, and boy, it'll pop up. And this show will be available about a day after it is on the air here in Davis. And, of course, replays are available on kdrt.org, and you can look up under Listening Lyrics to rerun for some of my shows. As a matter of fact, all the shows on KDRT are available for listening after the fact. We're going to go on now. This one is kind of interesting here, the next one. Are you familiar with Billy Corgan? Well, he owned a Stratocaster. In December of 92, the Smashing Pumpkins played a show in Detroit. And sometimes after that gig, Billy prized Stratocaster, which he used to record the band's debut album, Kish, a year earlier, was stolen. Can you believe it? Rewards of up to $20,000 were offered for the return of the guitar, with no questions asked, but the guitar was never recovered. That was until 27 years later, when Billy was contacted by a mother from Flushing, Michigan, named Beth James, who had purchased a guitar at a garage sale for $200 a decade earlier. She didn't even play a guitar, but had bought it to hang on the wall for, can you imagine this, for a decoration. Years later, James was decluttering her house and looked into the value of the guitar. In the process, finding out the true history of her wall art, the guitar had plenty of unique identifying features. A cigarette burn on the neck, the initials KM engraved in the bridge, the flush middle pickup, and of course, Billy's own artwork adorning the body, featuring the word F-U-C-K, scratched into the paint. In 2019, Corgan was reunited with the guitar and took it to a local Chicago luthier named Jeff to be repaired. The guitar was from the CBS era, when they would often use necks and bodies from different years, but Binge estimated the Stratocaster to be around 1975, even though the neck indicates 76. The pickups indicate 75. After Black Beauty had hit the auction block, it would have fetched well over that amount. Let's take a listen to the Smashing Pumpkins, the song Rhinoceros, using this very same Stratocaster.
Thank you.
rhinoceros smashing pumpkins. Hey, the ending there sounds a little like a little Beatles stuff going on, doesn't it, huh? You know, all these songs are great. How did this show get started? Well, I'll tell you how it got started. It all got started by Paul McCartney, who this week was in the news that his lost guitar of 50 years was found. And that's a bass. The trail began when Ian Horn, a sound engineer with Wings, read the search. So a group of people started searching for the guitar and published pictures of it and so on and so forth, primarily in the UK, because they figured it was still there. So when the sound engineer with Wings read of that search and came forward to say that the bass had been stolen from the back of his van in Notting Hill, West London, on October 10th in 1972. From there, the investigators identified the thief. Miss Jones says the thief lived in Cambridge Gardens in Ladbroke Grove. From the top floor of his flat, he could see the musicians coming and going down below and where the roadies parked their vans. This man was an opportunist thief who stole to provide for his wife and three children. In 1972, Notting Hill was a poor, poor place. The thief then sold the bass to Ron Guest, the landlord of his local pub. Scott John said days later the landlord agreed to buy it, and the bass that powered Beatlemania changed hands in West London pub for not a lot of money, plus, if you can believe this, a few pints of beer. Okay, that's pretty cool. A guitar that the Beatles used for a few pints of beer. The bass then allegedly passed from Ron Guest to his eldest son, Graham, who went to the university in Nottingham and died in a car rally in 76. It was then given to Graham's brother, Hayden, who died 2 years ago. Hayden's wife, who now owned the guitar, approached McCarthy's team because she saw in the news and the pictures that the guitar she had for so many years now was actually Paul McCartney's bass. So I've picked three songs, and since the Beatles, the first two are especially short, but I picked three that the bass really comes through, and you can hear Paul play the bass that he lost 50 years ago. So I'm going to play in a row The Taxman, Rain, and then From Abbey Road, Come Together. So close your eyes, zero in on that bass, and let's take it away.
One, two, three, four. One, two.
Let me tell you. One for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. The tax man, yeah.
Come Together, the Beatles. Before that, Rain and Taxman, all by the Beatles, using zeroing in on Paul McCartney's long-lost bass guitar used in those recordings that was reunited with him last week. You've been listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. But don't go away yet. Just don't go away yet, because I've got a K-Dirt alert for you. So, what are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about Julian Fawcett and Max Van Dyke of the Big Poppies. They're going to play a cozy concert series, which they're part of, at Morgan's Mill in Woodland. And that's tonight, Friday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. I'm going to be there. Hey, if you're listening to the show and you're there, stop by and say hello. I'm the gray-haired, tall dude that will be sitting somewhere in there, probably having a glass of wine. For more info on this, is really the Winter Space musicians, both Julian and Max, will perform original soul-infused rock music. They will play live as an acoustic duo at Morgan's Mill tonight, Friday, February 23rd at 7 o'clock. We thank Left of the Dial Promotions for organizing the concert series. In the background, you're listening to Stairway to Heaven, because that's a Led Zeppelin song that, again, using a long lost but found again guitar. Next week on Listening Lyrics, a few weeks ago, I sat down to a gentleman having something to eat, and we started talking. He's from France, but teaches at University of Davis, University of California in Davis. I believe he said he's in, I forget now. Anyways, a physicist of some sort. I'm not even sure. But anyways, he told me about his love of jazz and how many LPs he has. So I said, well, now, wait a minute. I got to have you on my show. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to zero in on him, and I'm going to bring along some of my favorites, including jazz musicians that found a home in France. And that'll be kind of fun to look at. So we're going to go out with a little bit more of Led Zeppelin. Thank you all for listening. Again, my name is Peter Pasteur, and cheers. Cheers.